Hello.
Hello, hi, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing all right.
Doing all right. Hi, I'm looking for somebody in charge of your cabinet sourcing. Would that be you?
Cabinet sourcing?
Yes, does your company provide kitchen and bathroom cabinets? I mean, install?
We do installing, yes.
You do. Oh, so I know you're busy. I'll make this very quick. I'm a manufacturer and distributor out of Florida of kitchen cabinets. Would you be interested in knowing more about our line?
Are you selling for an OEM or do you make them yourself or?
So we deal directly with the manufacturer, and we're distributing out of Plant City, Florida.
Oh,
So
okay.
it's going to be the Faircrest line. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Faircrest line.
Sounds familiar. I've been installing
Well, I'll make
cabinets for much longer than I care to admit.
that's
50 years.
good.
50
50
years.
years, so
But I mean, I've
longer
been
than I've
doing
been alive.
building construction and remodeling my entire life since I was a teenager. I'm a nuclear power plant engineer when I'm not
Interesting.
remodeling houses.
And so are you still doing it like full time with the kitchen and remodeling?
No, I bounce around. I do remodeling, different things. I just finished a cabinet job abruptly. Cabinets were all in boxes from Vietnam, so I'm not very impressed. I used to be a
Oh.
God, what was the name of the main cabinet? One of the biggest cabinet makers in the country, Home Depot. Man, I used to be an installer for Home Depot until I wasn't. But anyway, yeah,
Right.
no,
So if you're talking about Home
I've
Depot
done
and
thousands of
IKEA.
cabinets, but I'm not like a full-time, everyday cabinet installer by any way, shape, or form.
I understand, absolutely. Yes, I understand with the Vietnam or Taiwan product that you're receiving, especially dealing with Home Depot, it's gonna reduce the quality.
Oh, I know.
With
They're
us, though,
actually
since
not
you're
particle board garbage, though. They were nice quality.
They are okay. So
Solid wood.
ours are solid maple wood, with the boxes
Ooh.
that have the plywood box. The drawers and shelves are at 3/4 inches, and our standard with soft closed doors and hinges. They are English dovetail fasteners. We use a Sherwin-Williams paint, and we do pass it through a
Aha.
UV up, finish it in the grill oven.
I like them already.
At the moment, our turnaround time is 5 to 7 days. So if you ordered it flat
Wow.
box, our it will be 5 days. Now, if you need it delivered fully assembled, it will be 7 days. If you have a custom cabinet, depending on the measurement, style, and color, that can go to 15 to 20 days. Since you are dealing directly with the manufacturer, you're cutting the middleman off, so we're able to give 64% off the retail price. If you have that
Nice.
project that you said you finished, if you can send me the measurement as well, or the SKUs, or any rough sketch, whatever you have in hand, I can actually send you a quote and a render for that exact project that you already completed, and then you can
Oh,
compare apples to apples. What do you think?
yeah, that'd be awesome because I know my customer paid 16 grand for at
Oh no, you
least
have to.
16
That's
grand
a
for 32 piece. I think it was 32 piece. Full cabinet, all the trim, kick
Yeah,
boards,
this is
toe
everything,
case, whatever you
including
want to call
trim,
them.
toe kicks, everything's included, absolutely.
Yeah.
What is your name, sir?
I actually, I'm Marlon. How did you find me?
So we have a database for contractors, subcontractors, and builders, developers as well. Specifically out
Oh.
of Florida, my sector, and your number is in that database. So that's how I got your
Ah.
number.
Yeah, I'm plastered all over the internet by now, I'm sure, including the back web.
Well, if
Being
you've
a
been
pro
doing for
since you named me.
something for 50 years, sir, you are definitely gonna be somewhere. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I always change
You're
phone
not.
numbers.
I believe you. I don't do it myself. What did you say your name was again, sir?
Marlon.
Marlon. Excuse my dog. He hates the mailman. I do apologize.
Oh, no worries. I love dogs.
I do
heard
too.
Him in the background.
Yeah, he hates the mailman. I think they got something going on or something. But
that's not untypical. My first dog hated anybody in a uniform and would chew on
him. Oh, really? All right, so you understand.
We had to bring him back.
Oh, poor guy.
My parents didn't want to keep getting in trouble for the dog attacking the mailman and delivery man and anybody else who showed up in the yard with anything that looked like
right,
a uniform.
Nobody wants to show up.
Nope, man.
Absolutely.
You were heartbroken, man.
Yeah, poor, absolutely. But, hey, it's at least he entertains himself for a few minutes there.
Yeah.
So Marlon, so what I was mentioning to you, if you're able to send me that project, I could quote it for you. If you give me your email address, I can actually send you the colors and a sample render that we can provide for you as well, digital catalog and all my contact information as well.
All I have was a scan sheet showing the I might have more information.
As long as it's just SKUs or the measurements, we'll figure it out. We use a software called 2020, I'm sure you're probably familiar with it. And
not really. I'm a coder, DOS Flash website builder. I used to be a programmer, but when laptops came out, I'm like, yep, okay, I'm done. Kind of like same with cars and computer chips. I'm like, yep, I'm done. That was old school.
Yeah, well, especially with cars now. I mean, I had an issue with my vehicle as well. It's so modern now that you have to go through. I'm like, what happened with just a wrench and a screwdriver and a socket wrench, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that, you can't do that no more. You have to have a special screw. You have to go to a special place. I'm like, yeah, right. I used to take it to
the
corner down to Mr. Robert, you know?
Yep. So I'm an engineer. I get it. It's called engineered failure. They tie you in. Part of the sales and marketing process ties you in to the money-making aspect of after your warranty expires, something's going to break down, so you have to take it to the shop and pay the dealership for it, and they're all tied together.
Absolutely, because now you have to go to that specific dealership. You can't just take it to Mr. Robert no more.
Yeah, you know? It's engineered obsolete failure. You know, parts are made and designed to last a certain amount of time, like transmissions and engines. Certain models, they didn't focus on that as much, you know, but I mean, the same thing, you could say the same thing about cabinets. You buy cheap garbage and the screws fall out of the doors because they're made out of crap, MDF.
Absolutely.
And they don't hold
even the color goes out of style as well. So it's just, people just want to keep evolving, let's say. I don't know if I'm using the correct terminology there, but it's, I guess that's just how society works now.
I am right in the middle of one of the biggest boom building areas in Florida right now. Daytona, Ormond Beach is booming. I mean, there's thousands of brand new houses going up right now. That's unbelievable. So cabinet people are making bank. Anyway, my customer, I'd worked for them for 2 years and they hired a, local cabinet guy to come in and assemble these cabinets because they had boxes, their garage was full of boxes. So I'm like, oh, that's problematic because the homeowner and I put a couple together in his living room and it took a while, you know, because the instructions were crappy, Chinese, Vietnamese, whatever. I gotta hire some help, so. That guy ended up taking over the job, and I got kicked to the curb.
Well, Marlon, look, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up. If you ever are too busy, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. If you ever are
that's
too
fine.
Busy,
I do it all the time. We're human, bro.
Too busy, we are. If you ever need help with installation, we're able to do that as well. But that's if you need it. You know, let's say you're too busy and say, hey, I need help with this. We're just included on the quote, And we have our own specific people as well that can help with that. If you ever need it, that's just an option.
Yeah, no, I need work before I get to that point. I don't have, I don't have enough, I was really doing well. I had five jobs going at once at the same time all by myself. And I mean, I was doing bathroom remodels. Yeah, by myself. Cause it's, you know, the one good guy I did find is a fisherman and he's going back to work out in, up in Alaska for crab and salmon. It's like, oh,
pretty cool.
Man, I give up.
I thought about doing that, but I kind of chickened out.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. I did it out in California and it's rough. It's a rough.
Well, I went tuna fishing one time. I went fishing one time for tuna. But like, just like charter fishing, and I'm thinking I'm going to go out there and have a good time, you know, drink some beers, do my thing. This is actual labor work. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not what I was thinking.
And, I didn't sign up for this crap, man.
So I was like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. I got a good story. My wife and I went to the Virgin Islands and went deep sea fishing, got a bag full of fish. And me, like an idiot, not thinking or realizing that there are sharks in the harbor waiting for everybody to come in with their catch and, you know, whatever goes over the side, guts and whatever. Dip my bloody bag into the water and whack, shark comes up and bites the thing right in half.
Eats the whole thing.
Inches away from my hand. Like, hard chomp. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm trying to grab whatever's falling out of the bag.
You know what, Marlon? I'm sorry to be rude to you, but you almost deserve that.
It was stupid, bro. I mean, you know, I've done some stupid things in my life, but yeah, I did not see that shark at all. I mean, I got...
You're lucky. That would have been your hand right there. At least on fingers.
Yeah.
Well, the $150, I'm talking about your fingers.
No, $750 lesson, bro.
$700.
The guy felt bad for us and went back to his villa and took some lobsters out of the freezer, so we didn't go empty-handed, but yeah, I'll never.
I bet you
that.
He also went back and told that story to his friends.
Oh yeah, are you kidding? They're still laughing about that, man.
Yeah, he probably tells
yeah,
that story all the
idiot.
Time. Yeah,
we
had one
idiot.
Guy. Sorry, Marlon.
One guy. I'm sure I was called an idiot, man. Come on, let's get real here. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. I'd be like, yeah, that I had one idiot. Dip his bag
that's
of fish. You know, I'd had a few beers. What can I say? It's not an excuse.
Hey, but at least you still have your fingers. The beers are gone, but your fingers are still there. That's all that matters.
You have no idea. I'm hard to kill, man. I'm actually, as a matter of fact, I was just scanning over a book, one of the books that I'm writing, and I was just at that page doing some editing. But anyway, that's another story over beers.
Oh, you have, like, you write books?
Oh, yeah, I do a little bit of everything. Build websites, write books, fix turbines, steam turbines.
What kind of books, like fictions, non-fictions?
Both. One is spiritual, one is holistic health, another one is, like, research into the Akashic records, going back to the furthest back that the soul memory banks can contain in human history. 64,000 years back to Atlantis, for example, and Lumeria, Tartaria. Self-help books, spiritual guidance, life coaching, things of that nature. An autobiography. Of course, every time I tell the story of how I've almost died and had a near-death experience at the age of 18 and 14 more near-death experiences after that. Yeah, of course, my wife rolls her eyes every time I bring it up. But they're all like, oh, you gotta write a book. So, yeah, I started writing a book. Oh,
14 near-death experience.
15. One of them I'm writing is called Confessions of a Handyman, which is the humorous parts. You know, funny things that happen, like sliding down the top of a giant tennis court barrel roof on my feet and my butt and landing in a dumpster full of shingles.
Funny story. Yeah, after, well, I mean, after doing it for as long as you have, I'm sure you have enough to write a book. Maybe you should start one by saying what not to do when you go fishing.
Yeah,
that will help you out a lot more.
That one doesn't count, but that's definitely going to go in the book.
Put it in there. Throw it in the book and be like, where does this one come from?
Confessions of a handyman. How I almost lost my hand. Yeah, I'm not going to put the one in there about how I lost a chunk of my hand. Maybe I will put one in there about how I lost a chunk of my finger in a joiner when the garden.
How I lost the fish that I went for. Like, I lost all my fish.
How I lost my fish. Damn shark ate it. No, it's, you know, I can laugh at myself.
Now you can, absolutely. And that's a great thing that we can do. Is
people get offended.
In hindsight.
I don't get offended very easily. Although I was told I'm egotistical and have a lot of built-up karma that I got to pay back. It's like, well, bring it. Let's get it over with.
Yeah, hurry up. And I'm ready to pay it in full. Tell them. But Marlon, actually, you seem like a very easy guy to talk to, so I think that's a gift. That's something that a lot of people don't have. Somebody able, you're just able to just talk to just like that's crazy. I don't even know you. You don't even know me. I don't even know what you look like. But we're able to have this conversation about what we've been through and
life,
and in a way relate. You know, that's what's amazing.
I gotta give God all the credit for that. You know,
absolutely,
like
I do too. Absolutely.
Or a Bible thumper or anything. I used to be a born again Christian, but I woke up. So
myself as well, Marlon. Listen, it's something personal. I didn't believe in God for a very long time. But now he's the only one that I can give credit to, and I know it's him. And
it's a fact, man. I was forced into
that. I'm not like this church person, you know. You don't see me at church on Sundays, you know.
Well, you know, people who pretend go to church, you know, they swear and do things they shouldn't be doing when they're not in church, and then they go to church and pretend, you know, and throw money in the plate.
Exactly. And
look,
that's
see
what
who's
I've
looking
seen.
How much money they're throwing in there. And I'm like, God sees that, man. You think you're hiding it? God
I have family
anything.
Members, Marlon, that I'm like, there's these big church people and then they're drinking margaritas, getting drunk on Sundays and Saturdays. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, what's going on?
Well, here? You know the topic that, what was your name again?
My name is Moses.
Moses. Wow. Holy cow. Talk about, okay. Now I get it. That's an
what
awesome
do you get?
Name, man.
Oh,
the church,
you.
The church connection. No,
oh,
I love that name.
Absolutely.
He was the leader of his people, man. He was trying
Absolutely.
To save his people from their own self-destruction, man. So that name has a huge history and weight behind
He's
it.
He's the only one that's ever seen God.
Yeah, well, yeah, so they say. I don't know. I question a lot of things. I've read every version of every Bible ever written from cover to cover multiple times. Searching for answers.
And that's fine. That's fine, Marlon. You can question. Question as much as you want. Just don't ever doubt.
Yeah. No, I have a one-on-one, and here's the thing. Why would anybody want to have to pay someone to be an intercessor between you and God? Why should I have to pay someone to intercede?
When you can talk to him directly.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm not going to name names or any specific churches or anything, but and I'm much more deeply involved in this than meets the eye in many ways. You have no idea. I'm not saying that from an egotistical point of view. It's just a fact.
I believe you. Okay. I believe you.
But, I've seen the world from a point of view that most people don't take. Or they don't care to take, and that's fine. But I wanted to bring up a subject that we were talking about earlier about judgment. Religion and religious beliefs and perspectives are all focused on fear, intimidation, and judgment. Oh, you're going to go to hell and blah, blah, blah. It's like, think about what you just said. Who is the judge of your life? And then, and when you come up with the answer, then you've really gotten somewhere in your quest to discover that one answer that's probably the most important answer anyone could ever ask. If you are a child of God, what are you going to become someday? We're not just going to melt back into God at the end when, you know, and sing Kumbaya in heaven when it's all said and done. In my mind, it's my own humble opinion, because I was asking questions like that as a born-again Christian back in the 80s, I think. What's going to happen when we get to heaven? Are we all going to sit around and weave baskets and sing Kumbaya, or is there something else going on? I mean, you know, we got eternity to spend after that. I'm like,
right.
You know, I'm a few years into my quest as a born-again Christian, a Pentecostal holy roller, speaking in tongues, interpretations, you know, dancing in the spirit kind of church, the things that some people say, oh, that's demonic, and it's like, okay, whatever. You're entitled to your opinion. I said, what if God has other ideas and he's teaching us to be like Jesus was? What if instead of just hanging around in heaven and staring at each other and polishing our you know, jeweled floors and jeweled chandeliers, what if we go to other planets and solar systems and do the exact same thing Jesus did, because we know we're going to live forever and they can't do anything to our soul? They might kill us because we're trying to teach them how to be spiritually advanced, spiritually evolved, and learn how to ascend to higher levels of frequency and vibration, which is what the entire universe is made of. What if we're learning how to be more like Jesus because that's what he was trying to teach us? And their jaws dropped and they looked at me. Silence. Crickets. So that was me back in church at the age of 19 and 20, 21.
Yeah, you were, a key word there was if. It was, that was like, what if? It's,
what if?
Yeah, people are thrown back by those things.
Yeah.
But now, Martin, I believe
it's a subject for arguments and Christians and Islam back in the Crusades that should just not be happening. People should just acquiesce with the fact that there's one God. We need to live as God instructed us to do.
Let me ask you a question, Marlon.
With unconditional love as the foundation, period. It's that simple.
Let me ask you a question. I agree with you, absolutely. You said you've read many Bibles. Which one is the one that you agree with the most?
Oh, that's a great question. I tend to go back and
have you ever read the Quran?
I have.
You have?
I've read.
Can you compare that to the King James?
I've read the King James, the NIV, the fire. As a matter of fact, I still have the NIV and what's called the Fire Bible. It's about 3 inches thick. It's New International. It's the NIV. Mm-hmm. It's the one that I scribbled in.
What about the Book of Mormon? Have you read one of those? I mean, I've read many books as well.
I've been through every single one of them. You name it. Mormon, Jehovah's. My ex-wife decided to become a Jehovah's Witness.
Listen, Martin, those are the family members that I was telling you about. The Jehovah Witnesses were the ones.
Can of worms, man. But I'm
sorry
okay
to say that. I'm not sure if you agree with me or not.
They destroyed my family. Destroyed my family. I wanted to burn them all. That's how angry I was. To watch a cult destroy a family and your own son disown his own blood father.
For the elders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the elders. Yeah, no, I was deep in it. Wore the suit and tie and the whole nine yards, but I was not going to go door to door and try to convert people, because when they came to my house, I was still a born-again Christian, and my wife took that religion and that whole premise of Christianity and threw it out the window to join a cult, and it ultimately destroyed my family. Lost my wife, my son, and my daughter. Well, thank you. I have a new wife and a 5-year-old daughter, and I've never been at more peace and happiness and joy in my entire life. Even being,
you just said something very, very, very important as well, Marlon, is just single words like these, I can tell what you're feeling. You said peace.
I project it.
And that's
it's
all
the core
we want,
essence
right?
of who I am, man. Those three things.
I just want peace in my life, and that's all we want.
Peace. Yeah. That should be the core, unconditional love and peace.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, humanity is on the 0.7 scale of evolution in a species. That's like, you got to be kidding. We're not even at one. We can't even have intelligent conversations about the possibility of acquiescence to one.
Well, you know what's more sad, Marlon, is that we can't even, sometimes, even because we don't agree, we don't like each other. I actually learn from that. If you don't agree with me on something, Marlon, I'm going to listen to you. And I'm like, wait a minute, maybe he can teach me something here. Maybe let me see why he doesn't agree. What's going on here? Maybe I'm not seeing something. I would love to hear his opinion. You know, that's the way I see things. Some people, you say, no, it's not like that. Well, then, go, whatever yourself. And
yeah.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
But
having an open mind,
allow
someone to speak their own truth and see if you can learn something from it or pick something up that you weren't able
sure.
to see. But you had to.
You might not need it now, but one day you will. I promise you, you will. There's conversations that I've had, just like this one right now, Martin. Listen, I might come across something in my life one day, and I'm going to remember this conversation. I'm going to say, wait a minute, I have this in my toolbox,
Yeah.
And I'm able to utilize it. It's that's the way I see things. That I'm very big in perspectives. I want to see a different perspective because that's how I learned from it.
When I was in a car with a bunch of drunken teenagers and we hit a tractor trailer head on at over 100 miles an hour. I left my body, left the earthly plane, and stood in front of. People can say whatever they want to say. It's, I know what I know, and it's my truth, and I own it. I met what's called my higher self, which is my direct connection to God, because we have the human condition in the physical realm. Our mind blocks the connection from our heart to our soul and all the way up to our crown chakra, which is the spiritual essence of our higher self, which is a direct connection to God where there's no interference. And the mind is the biggest block to that connection. And the heart, when people's hearts are fractured and broken, they lose their connection with God because they don't have that connection with their higher self, which is their spiritual self. They don't even recognize it. They don't care to, and that's okay. I used to be that, God hates fags and the judgment of the church kind of person. And I woke up one day and I'm like, oh man, this is just wrong in every way, shape and form. So to answer my own question that I asked earlier, we become our own judges because we are children of God. We have to judge what we did wrong and what we could have done better in our life.
And the decisions that we make as well, Marlon. Marlon, that's one thing that it's because of fear
exactly.
brings anxiety, brings sometimes depression, brings just these feelings of just like, wait a minute, and that don't allow you to make a clear choice. And I'm going to tell you something personal as well, Marlon. I'm actually a combat veteran for the United States Marine Corps with the 3rd Battalion.
Oh, man,
so
Semper Fi. Woo-hoo.
Semper Fi, sir.
I say Fi. Fi, Fo, Fum.
I get it. It's Semper Fi, that
listen. I was raised
by
a Marine, by the way.
Were you? Okay. So
that's why
I understand.
Partially.
Are you? Maybe that's probably why we get along as well. We just got along, But
yeah, exactly.
The point here, Marlon, is that I understand what it is to be in a position to where you have to make these decisions pretty fast and decisions that are going to change your life. So it's very important to understand, to not judge and to not feel better than anybody else, you know, because I might have something, because my life can be better, my life can also be worse. So I appreciate what I have, and I live the moment now, you know, because I'm tired of worrying about the future. Gratitude, absolutely. And that's how I feel there with that one, Marlon. I hope that didn't confuse you.
No, not at all. So what I wanted to say was that when I met my higher self, I experienced a level of love that I've never, no earthly words can, I cannot find words. And I'm a writer. I used to speak with a near genius English language proficiency in high school, and people mm-hmm. look at me like, what are you saying? I'm like, let me see if I can put this in terms you can understand. And they would just be like,
simple words.
You're an asshole. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this is just who I am. So I had to change my vocabulary and my phonetics so that people could understand the words that I was using, because I was just good at the English language. But
your vocabulary was good. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. No, I have the same issues as well. I especially when I'm speaking in Spanish, because I can also speak in Spanish. So it's
introduzco, conocerte. And
one Monday.
I butcher Spanish because I learned it from all the guys I worked with in California.
It's a blessing to be able to learn. That's what I think, is learn. So going back to what you were saying as well, when I was in combat and I told you I did not believe in God, that's when I did start believing in Him. And I was like, you know what? There's something here, you know. There's something there. Like, there's just no way it's not real. And
you witness a miracle? Like, God saved your life kind of thing? Or was it something else?
Yeah, it's more like that. I'm going to just take a little bit more of your time here, because I have to go to work as well. I'm actually on the clock, but it's okay.
Oh, okay. I run my own business, so I do what I want when I want.
I do too. So I kind of make my own. I have leniency and privilege, let's say. Once again, thanks to God. So
I'm a salesman too, by the way. You know, I could sell cabinets over here like crazy to all ICI Homes and all the other big builders in the area and the contractors.
Well, I'm a distributor and a manufacturer. We could make money.
I'm telling you, man. I'm always open for opportunities.
Absolutely.
But anyway. I just wanted to say this before I forget, that I experienced that unconditional, that sense of love that's just not, no words can describe it. It's not something you can see. It's embedded in your soul.
You have to feel
it. It's embedded in your soul. It's like the most, I can't even find the words, which is unusual for me to describe.
I know what you're saying.
Essence of God in its purest form is what I experienced at the age of 17 in a bloody, death-defying, head-on tractor-trailer collision that none of us should have lived through. We all lived, all seven of us. That's what I came back with, and I came back with no fear, but I was very angry because I had to come back against my will, I thought. But that goes into another hour-long conversation about that and our soul contracts and all that good stuff. But unconditional love was the foundational aspect of every kind of conversation that I could have with anyone about God, and it all boils down to that, you know.
And it's real. Like I told you, Marlon, it's like when I was in combat, I knew that something was there, but I still had my doubts. Just like you said, what if, you know. So I ended up going back home. When I go back home, this is 2012. And
a little year right there.
Yeah, it was crazy. Because I was in the middle of the hardest parts of the combat with George Bush and Obama and all them. I ended up coming back home and I ended up getting divorced,
I'm sorry, man.
That's another hour long story as well. So I'll make it quick. And So I
know. That's why I'm writing 10 books about stuff like that.
I end up coming home, Marlon, and in my little apartment, I had this mini bar with my whiskey, my tequila, vodka, whatever, you know. And I was at a point, Marlon, where I was just tired, man. I was extremely, like, mentally tired. And I was like, you know what, dude, I'm gonna pull this fucking trigger, dude. You know, I had that thing in my mouth. Yeah. But I didn't have the balls, Marlon.
Intense,
I didn't have the balls. So, yeah, what I end
does
up
it
doing
take ball,
is...
Does it take balls or resolve to just, like...
To give up? That's, to me, that takes balls, man. Like, because I don't know how to give up. I don't know what
before,
that means,
man.
You know?
Standing on the rail of the bridge just saying...
Yeah,
that's
shit
it.
Like
I'm
that.
Go. I don't care
I mean,
anymore.
Excuse my language. Yeah.
Yeah, no, same here. It's just being...
So, Marlon, so...
In your authentic self, Moses.
Thank you. So I end up saying, you know what? I'm gonna take a shot of Johnny Walker, and I take a double shot of just Johnny Walker. And after that, I didn't want to do it anymore. And I was like, what? So at the same time, I met God. I met the devil, Marlon. And the devil was telling me, you know what? Now that you feel like crap, drink, take a shot, you know. Why are you going to kill yourself so fast? Do it slowly, you know?
I know him
I was like, this is not God. I was like, this ain't God. This is not God, you know? So that's when I knew. I was like, God is real because I've never felt this before. And
you're on the edge. You went to the edge.
And he saved me. I told him, Lord,
that's
if you can hear me, Father.
That's where you find God, on the edge. Excuse me.
It's okay. But yeah, that's one of the stories there.
Glad you're still here, man. Glad you decided not to.
I am too, man. It's not me. I gave all credit to
God.
Seriously. Like
I don't just throw words out for, you know, self-gratification or whatever, feed my ego. Even though I've been told I'm egotistical, I still really don't. I'm blind to it, I guess. I don't know. I just enjoy talking to people and sharing my life stories to maybe see if people can, you know, have a little bit more hope and, you know, maybe look forward to a brighter future because there's better possibilities out there than where they're at, maybe. I mean, I've done, you know, suicide prevention talks with people saying, you know, that you are valued by God. And me, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. You know, God loves you and God values you and has, you're like just as important to God as anybody else on this planet. That makes us all, you know, basically the same in his eyes. Nobody's better because they have a lot of money or, you know, material things or whatever. It's because of who you are, a child of God. That's, you know, that's it. And,
that is,
you know,
it. Absolutely.
You can have God's love within you if you just accept it, if you want it and desire it. If you want and desire God's love, you can just open up your heart. You got to open up your heart, though, and that's the thing. People are closed.
That's the thing. You have to. You have to. Like, it's you. It's not nobody else can do it for you. It's you. You have to want it. You have to.
Nobody's
accept
gonna
it, believe it.
Yeah.
You know.
Nobody's gonna save you. You have to save yourself. People are sitting around waiting for salvation. I'm like, you gotta save.
Yeah, he's gonna fall on my lap, and everything's gonna be better. And that's why I mentioned you, Marlon. Like giving up. Like, so what happens when you give up? Like things get better or something? No, I mean you can't give up. Like you gotta. Like that's why I don't know how to do it. I don't know. It doesn't exist in my mind. I don't know how to do that. You know.
Yeah. People are lost because they don't know how to reconnect, you know. That's when the church comes in and tries to take advantage of that.
I agree.
Anyway.
Anyways, Marlon.
So we should have another conversation about business possibilities.
Sure. Marlon, did you say you had, like, you were scanning something that you can send me or something? I can code it for you.
Yeah, I got to go dig it out of my truck because it's in my I'm one of those old school guys that has, you know, keeps paper. Everybody tries
so
to
get it. But you can email it to me, right?
It. Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind me asking you for your email?
No. It's M, it's my initials, MDCOX0703@gmail.com. No, I
all right.
When I see weird phone numbers coming in, I usually suspect it as being, you know, spam or something trying to sell me a car repair warranty or some crap.
I didn't feel that from
this one for some reason.
I am glad. I'm telling you, Martin, I've had people tell me they can buy my whole family and this. I'm like, well, good luck, because my family is not here.
I get it, man. So you have no idea.
So it's MD Cox
0703.
C, right? C like Charlie, right?
Yep. Michael Delta Charlie Ox
Oscar
X-ray.
0703@gmail.com. All right, so Marlon, in this email, I'm going to send you the colors that we provide, like I said, a sample render. Just respond to that email when you scan it, and I'll get you a compare price so you can see like with this what I would have paid. And,
oh, yeah.
And if you like it,
my wife's
Marlon,
making breakfast, so I was like, oh, yeah.
And then I can even ship you out some free sample doors as well, Marlon.
Really? Cool.
Yes, sir. You know, just send me those measurements and we can work that out. Just choose some colors.
Let's see. What do I have here? Yeah, so it's the dimensions of the pieces.
And that's all I need. That's absolutely all I need.
You can call me if you have any questions about it, but you've seen these cabinet drawings a million times, so it's easy to, you know, vent hood 30-inch, B21 poles, 21x42, you know, it's pretty simple. 48-inch island, 24-inch dishwasher, 36-inch sink, tilt trays, roll-out bottom, Lazy Susan 36 LS in the corner.
Oh, Lazy Susan.
And then the 30x42 tops. So it's got the bottom and the tops, you know, the typical layout. So it's pretty easy. That's all I have left from that job. And I mean, you know, the guy was frustrated because it was taking too long, and you know, I bailed him out because his contractor screwed him over and they fired him, and they, you know, wanted me to try to help him out, and I'm like, I'm just one guy.
Right.
So anyway,
trying to put
that's
that pressure on him.
That's how it came to an end. We still talk, but anyway.
It's not the same anymore. Just a little thorn there, is that what it is?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a contractual disagreement, basically. You know, I gave him a flat rate, and he was trying to, you know, look at my hours, and I'm like, listen, you know, flat rate is flat rate, so you and I aren't standing there looking at the clock all day long. And, you know, my time running around getting tools and three truckloads of tools and materials and supplies.
You know what's funny, Marlon?
Flat rate fee. You know, not an hourly fee, it's flat rate. X amount of dollars per day.
Nope.
That was funny about that.
I was literally having a conversation today about that, and people are like, wait a minute, like, why did you do it so fast? It's like, wait a minute, you're not paying for the time here. You're paying for the experience, the material, and all. Like,
exactly.
People don't get that. It's like,
exactly.
Like, what are you thinking? Your time? That's the last thing you're paying for.
You know, I charge them by the hour. I mean, I get $60 an hour as a handyman contractor here in Florida, and I was charging $375 an hour as an engineering consultant, but I dropped it down to $300 an hour as a I have a master's degree in electrical engineering, and you know, when I do consultations, matter of fact, I have one this afternoon for utility power plant shutdown welding subject matter expert. That's what I'm doing this afternoon. But I don't have them every day, though, so that's why I go out and do remodeling projects. And, you know, this cabinet thing just kind of got thrown at me.
I don't think it's coincidence as well, Marlon, because you say business is booming in Daytona. So, I mean, I think this is probably something opening up for not just you, also me, because I'm like, wait a minute, like there's something going on here. I can provide directly. We're cutting every middleman off. That Home Depot cheap stuff. Watch, I'm gonna give you something extremely nice. Like you're not sacrificing price and quality here. You're dealing directly with the manufacturer. And I sent you the email. I'm not sure if you're in front of your computer.
Yeah. I thought it was Moses, not Jose.
My Gmail is, my name is Jose Moses Romero.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Well, I just fired up my computer, so I got three computers. Well, actually I have six, but I'm writing a book on the middle one, and I got some other email going on the other one, and now I'm looking at your email on my third one. I used to do computer repairs, and everybody's like, why do you have so many computers? I'm like, well, I'm a computer geek, man.
Marlon, you told me you were old school.
I am.
You must be both.
Oh, yeah, well, I build my own websites. I think I have like 8 or 10 websites that I build on the Flash platform.
You said you write books. How did you even start that? Like, where do you even start, like, to write a book? Like, how does that work?
I started back in 2010, and then...
But you just, like, just open up you just open a book and you just start writing, and then you just call somebody and say, hey, can I publish this? Can I...
That's the hardest part, is finding somebody that'll publish it, because self-publishers charge you. They don't do any sales and marketing. But I found a platform that I'm gonna buy that helps you do everything. It helps you. I have zero writer's block. I can literally sit down and just start banging away and type on any of the 10 books that I'm writing. I do it all the time. I guess you could say I'm a renaissance man.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I just come home, sit down, and boom, I start typing, and I can do 10, 20 pages.
And metal helmet. So, but is that how you do it, though? Or you just, like, come home, and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to add this.
It's an inspiration, but the information is there in my brain floating around like steam in a sauna. I just have to sit down and fingers to the keyboards and zero, right? I don't have to think about it. It just comes out. It's very unusual.
Like
it's unheard of. I do, it's Word docs.
Word documents. That's actually how a computer works, to be honest. Just everything's like already in order. Just boop, put it there.
Yeah, autocorrect. Like, spell check.
Like me, I have to process everything. I have to think it probably twice or three times, and then it's still sometimes incorrect.
Were you in the shit? Yeah, that's the term we use, because I used to hang around with Vietnam vets, like the ones that were psycho from PTSD.
Through the VA, it was only 40%, Martin.
What do you mean, 40%?
PTSD.
Okay. I think that's combat vets are the ones that are
combat,
out there,
yeah,
with the most of it.
Yeah. I mean, the suicidal rate is insane, Martin.
Oh, I know. I hear about it all the time.
It's
heartbreaking.
This is what I didn't like. They just give you these prescription drugs, these pills. It's like, all right, go ahead. And then I'm like, man, this shit makes me feel like dizzy and nauseated.
That's
like,
the norm.
Like this,
that's the norm. Yeah.
And
no,
like,
there's other ways.
And so I ended up going through counseling. I ended up privately myself going, put myself through counseling and, you know, psychiatrist, even a psychologist. And And I was able to at least kind of bounce back. Yeah, the trauma's still there, I'm not going to lie, but I'm able to manage it now. You know,
that's good.
I utilize it as a lesson instead of a downfall.
Yeah. So my wife and I contracted Lyme disease back in 2008-09, around the same time before we even met. And we both self-healed through it, and I'd already been studying holistic homeopathic natural healing technologies since the 70s and 80s. We kicked it into high gear, self-healing from Lyme disease once we got our initial dose of antibiotics, doxycycline. And, you know, we both went down the spiritual road because I'm on my fifth marriage. My first wife at the age of 20, 21 cheated on me, and that ended abruptly. I already had PTSD from childhood abuse, torture, beatings, psychological, physical beatings and torture from a stepmother. So I already had trust issues, and when that happened, I was like, I call it soul fracturing. But the near-death experience, soul fracturing. Yeah, I write. This is some of the stuff I'm writing about. I think you'll find some of my books pretty interesting once I get them published.
I would love to read them. Absolutely.
Soul reaching, soul searing. Things people need to hear. I mean, because I came back from all that. I was a drug addict, alcoholic on the streets, didn't give a crap about anything, you know. I had that dark black cloud hanging over my head that if I could kill people by looking at them, I would do it. I would have done it back then because I was so angry. And, you know, God reached out and saved me through a friend of mine that I met from one of my girlfriend's sister's husband. And, you know, he gave me the speech, and I went to the church, and he said, when you open the doors, you can feel the Holy Spirit in there. My whole body's tingling right now. Tingles all over my body. My goosebumps. Holy Spirit goosebumps. And, you know what it was, Moses, that
what?
Saved me when I walked into that church? Yes, there's only one word. We've been talking about it already. Well, yeah, he was part of it, but it was love, man. The love that those people showed me in that church was the one thing that I recognized. You can't buy it, you can't sell it, you can give it away and you can accept it, but that was the one thing that sold me, I guess.
Yeah, you felt.
I felt it.
That's actually,
I felt
that's,
the presence of God's love in that
that's
church.
That's exactly how it worked with me. I had a friend. I haven't spoken to him in so long. I hope he's doing well, actually. And he
check
was
up
actually,
on him, man.
Well, I've lost all contact. He's actually in Virginia. He's actually in Fairfax, Virginia. And I might fly over there, to be honest.
Okay, thank you, sweetie.
But he told me,
I'm listening.
Hey, he told me, let's go to church. And this, and he's homeless as well. He was sleeping in his van, him and his wife and his two kids. And he was sitting at the 7-Eleven, and I'm walking up to 7-Eleven. I just got out of work, and I saw him. His name is Mike. I was like, hey, what's going on, Mike? He goes, no, just sitting here, man, praying to God, this and that. He was always into God. Like, I was like, oh, you know. But now I was like, all right, I believe in God, but I wasn't, like, going to church or nothing. And then he's like, hey, you want to come to church on Sunday? And I was like, nah, man, I'm good, bro. You know, well, maybe next Sunday, you know, I might have to work, I told him. And just making
coming up with excuses, right, yeah.
Exactly. And then one day I was like, you know what, I'm going to go. You know, I'm going to go ahead and see what's up. And And once again, Marlon, when I walked in that church as well, I felt this peace. I felt this love. Like, you're welcome here. Like, you're.
Boom.
It's not like streets. You know, it's like, this is it, man. I'm like, this is it. And, you know, one thing, Marlon? That church never asked me for one penny. Not one penny.
And yeah, that's like a big, huge red flag as soon as that starts coming up. It's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, and we read.
Are you trying to sell me something here?
It wasn't the preacher and the pastor talking about his experience in his life. We were literally going off what the Bible said. And that's
Jesus
what I
already like. Paid the price, bro.
Exactly.
That's my comeback.
And this was in Fairfax, Virginia, so I hope they're all doing well. You know, I really wish them the best.
Yeah, you know, I've had a deep desire to reach out and help. I mean, I've already done that by helping deployed soldiers' families at home, you know, like fixing stuff, going there and helping fixing a washing machine or a garbage disposal or plumbing or whatever. And, you know, like giving them 50% off or just doing it without charging them because they're home, you know, dad's gone and deployed off to Afghanistan or wherever. And,
yeah,
and
I did both. I did Afghanistan.
Shit wages, man. So, you know, and I can't believe you're doing this. I'm like, well, you know, this is God doing this, not me.
Marlon, I was making less than $40,000 a year in a combat zone.
It's ridiculous, man. It's criminal.
Not my day. I'm like, I can make more at the Buc-ee's.
Yeah, literally. It's ridiculous, I mean, man.
But I was doing this for my country. After 9/11, it pissed me off, Martin. It pissed me off. So I was like, I'm going. And my dad was a Marine, too. My sister's a Navy. And so I'm like, you know what, man? It just pissed me off. I'm going. And that's the reason that's the real reason I joined.
Bushes were the big man. The cabal were the big players in 9/11. There was no planes, no terrorists. All a bunch of bullshit.
That's all. I mean, come on, you're talking about petroleum there. You're talking about
they wanted oil, but they wanted more than that. They wanted to raid Iraq and Iran and Syria and take all, you know. It's much, much deeper than people realize. There's portals there, portals that go into different dimensions. That kind of deep stuff that people are like, oh, wow, man, you're French, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, you have no idea. You have no idea, man. You're talking about a realm that you're just completely blind to, and God's right there in the middle of it. But anyway, I've been researching that stuff for 25 years.
That's something to look at. The only thing.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say I like that stuff because the only thing that I do is once I get into it, I go into the rabbit hole and I'm like, and I can't stop researching it, you know? So I take hours and hours of my day just learning more and more about these types of subjects that you're talking about.
I went so far down the rabbit hole, Moses, I got PTSD from it. Oh, I did. Seriously.
I bet you must have seen some bad stuff. Huh?
Well, when you see a tank full of dead children's bodies with their guts ripped out, organ harvested, and who knows what else happened to them, it kind of tends to...
Absolutely.
Fuel and
what
fire, a rage and an anger against these people that do these things to children that I just can't even describe it. I've been fueled by this rage and anger, but the PTSD and the shock of seeing that stuff.
Marlon,
is
just straight horrific stuff that these people voluntarily do. And that's what makes me not upset, and it makes me boil, you know, because
boil.
I've had
Rage.
To do that. I've had to do that, Marlon, because in combat, there is a child, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old child with an AK-47 shooting at me. Am I going to let this child kill me, or do I kill him? I'm not doing
exactly.
Voluntarily. I'm saying, do I go home to my child, or do I kill this child? What do you think I did?
Exactly.
Martin? What do you think I'm going to do? So
you're still
not
here.
Voluntary.
The choice is obvious, man.
You think that I don't go, there's not one day in my life that goes by that I don't think about this. It's
yeah,
incredible.
No, I know.
You know?
I've been running from people shooting at me because they were drunk, trying to kill me. you know.
It's crazy. When you're put in a position
it's somebody else's
problem, it's somebody else's issue. This is our politics now. And I'm like, what am I the fuck doing here? I got a family, dude. I got my kids. Like, what am I doing here? This is not even what we're here for, you know?
And, you know what the rate, you know what the